Triple M Rocks Saturday Arvo Footy. Triple M Rocks the Footy. For Harvey Norman Home Appliances.
Names.
You will never see a team like this again.
The biggest game.
This game.
What a game.
Magnificent. Unbelievable.
Getting a head start on the weekend. For McDonald's and Ream Hot Water. Triple M. Rocks Thursday Night Footy.
And a very good evening right across the Triple M network. We do it for Ream, we do it for Maccas. It's Thursday Night Football and we've got a game on our hands tonight too. It's a Sydney game, it's the Dogs versus the Cowboys. And in the commentary team tonight, the dual international, the premiership winner, Triple M's favourite, Wendell Saylor. Welcome to you.
Hello Maroon, great to be here. It's been a very different week. It's been a very different week. Mm-hmm. To be honest, I wasn't in the most positive sort of mood coming in through the week because just so much negativity around. So for me, I'm looking forward to this game, even though there's going to be no crowd tonight.
Yeah, just to get your mind off it a little bit. What about you, Emma Lawrence? How's the week been? You're obviously in the front line of it all with news.
Yes, it's been an incredibly busy week this week. So a week that I've never really had to cover before in the game. So going out to various press conferences every day, whether or not there's much of an update, we just want to hear from the game's bosses to see where they're at. And seems to have been changing, not just by the day, but by the hour. Mm-hmm. But that's what, not just in rugby league, but just in the world in general.
And the Prime Minister of Penrith just finishing his own show, The Rush Hour, the great Mark Geyer. Should be a good battle, though, on the field tonight.
It will be. Unfortunately, nobody's there to watch it. There is a, like the Emma and Wendell said, there is a feeling of inevitability about this weekend, isn't it? It's kind of like we don't know if it's going to be the last one, if it's going to be we're going to go on for 6 weeks. But, you know, I hope these guys have sacrificed a lot to be playing tonight, and I think against probably better judgment that they are, but us in the AFL are probably the only two sports in the world that are still going.
How do you feel about that? I mean, I get a feeling now like the NRL is unstoppable. I love the way everybody's stood together, and here we are at week two. No one give us a chance, but the closer we get to week two, I feel like we're going to just keep going.
I'm with you. I hope you're right. I really do. I hope we keep marching forward. These guys are, as I said, making sacrifices. They're self-isolating from their family and loved ones, and just to give us a product on the field. So good luck to them.
Well, yeah, I think good on the NRL for doing everything in their power to keep it going. When I spoke to Peter Valandis yesterday, he did say, you know what? If the AFL did shut down, there was going to be a lot of pressure on us. But he said that wouldn't stop me. You watch me. I'll get the health and safety of the players is certainly their first priority. But he said I'll do everything in my power. So yeah, I've really admired the leadership of Peter Valandis over this last week.
Yeah, I think you're not on your own. What about you, Del?
I agree, but I feel for the Warriors players a little bit too. I know it's business. I know that you can be over there, you can say what you want, but
I didn't say anything.
No, I know, but I know some people think, they just got to suck it up and that's the way it is, but it's just different. Like, it's obviously everything's going by the hour. I respect that the players want to play, but I just can't believe, financially that, if the boys don't play, we're in trouble.
You're close to the front with a young bloke who is in this, Tristan's in this predicament. Now, what's the thought of that? We're going to listen to Damien Cook later on the show, but what's his point of view on it all?
Yeah, well, he was told, obviously, the Intrust Cup or Canterbury Cup, they're not playing now until July or something. So he's in the 21-man squad this week. He just said, look, if he's got to play, he's got to play. He's got no problems with it. He's at uni as well. It's one of those things where he's going to suck it up and they're going to stick together.
Okay, this is Thursday Night Footy on Triple M if you've just joined us. Wendell Saylor, Emma Lawrence, Mark Geyer and Maroon. Now, the latest thing on the coronavirus and how it affects the NRL, players put into lockdown has been discussed today. Here's the chairman of the ARL Commission, Peter Valandis. Here's what he had to say.
The whole survival of our game is at risk. Some of the consequences are catastrophic. With that, in order to have the game viable, we need to play every game, and we need to play the final series, and we need to play the State of Origin series. We will introduce a self-isolation program. The details of that self-isolation program will be worked out with the clubs and the players, taking into account the biosecurity and pandemic experts' advice.
All right, there it is. The players will go into this Well, lockdown, Em, you were there when he said this.
Yes, and most of the questions centered around, okay, so what exactly is a self-isolation program? Is it purely you go to training and you go home? Because that's going to be very difficult. And they said, well, over the coming days, they're going to liaise with the players and try to work out a framework. It's not going to be super strict rules. It's just a framework because there's, I guess, questions over, does that mean you can't go down to get a coffee at the cafe? Does that mean you can't fill your car up with petrol? All of those sort of things. So they haven't, they need to have more discussions with the players to work that out. And Clint Newton from the Players Association was there and he will drive those conversations. The other issue was, how do you police this lockdown or self-isolation? Because the players essentially, in their own time, even if you recommend this, they can go out and go out for dinner at a restaurant with their family. You can't stop them from doing that. If they want to go to the park with their kids, you can't stop them from doing that. And Peter Volandi's just said, we're just putting the trust in them because the game depends on it. And they will let their teammates down, they'll let their club down. So we're just trusting that they'll do everything in their power to do the right thing.
Okay, so then where are we? And I'm asking you this, Em, but boys, you feel free to jump in here as well. Then where are we with this thing about taking the players to a central location? Because if they were at a central location, they wouldn't have the option to go and fill the car up with fuel or walk the dog or go for a walk along the beach.
So that's still an option, but they want to keep that option up their sleeve. So if it gets to perhaps round six or round seven and things get worse.
Bit colder.
When it gets colder, the spread of the virus will become worse. So that is certainly an option in the medium to long term. But at the moment, they want to cause as little disruption as possible, keep the players with their families. And that is an option certainly for, say 6 weeks down the track.
Okay.
It's you wake up thinking about it. You go to bed thinking about it. I've kind of, it's a need to know at the moment in my house because every time you turn something on, you're getting prompts on your phones and stuff like that. It's just one of the things that, I've never experienced a pandemic before. No one has in our country. So it's something that we've all got to come to grips with and going forward, help each other any way we can.
You know, it's funny, like you talk about the quarantine rules we were talking about before. I was playing golf the other day. And this bloke rocks up and then he just absolutely blasts into the young, the pro golfers and stuff. Because he's been overseas, you're not allowed to be anywhere near. And he's going, he was like 55 and he's blowing up at them. And he's going, I've got friends who's just come back from overseas and they're playing golf. Mate, don't worry about your friends overseas. But look, you've got to do the right things by what you're supposed to do. That's the same as, we were saying before.
Yeah, definitely. They're relying on everyone, and particularly with the NRL, to do the right thing because of the close contact. If it's going to become a massive issue if one player tests positive. But the NRL, if one player tests positive, that wipes out for, say, a fortnight, six teams because you wipe out the team they played the week before and the following week. But the NRL will keep going with as many teams as they can. So they might go ahead with just three games for the weekend if half the competition is wiped out. They will do everything they can to keep at least some games there and then make up games later. So Todd Greenberg even said today, if they play right up until the end of December, they will, but they'll cap it at this calendar year.
That's great.
What was a little bit worrying?
You happy with that?
I think, look, as long as we get play the games, and I'm just so happy that finally, with respect to everybody involved in the game, we've got a bloke leading the game at the moment who people, and he hasn't been leading the game for long, the chairman I'm talking about,
he's fair.
Everybody's got absolute faith in what he does. It's a breath of fresh air.
Yeah, and there's no sugarcoating the way it is. He said that if we don't play, there is no game.
Yep.
We've got to play every round. We've got to play State of Origin. We've got to play semis. We've got to play the grand final. If we don't, forget about it.
But let me ask you, why isn't there any money? We just had that big deal like a couple of years ago. So you tell me that, Maroon. MG.
I wish I knew.
I think the thing is, Em, you'd know better than us, but I think, look, whatever you plan for, now I run a business, right? This is a big business. The NRL's, whatever you planned for, you couldn't have planned for this.
No, I get that.
But there are question marks over why there isn't a lot more money in this so-called war chest. So even though they said today we have to play every single game to survive, they do have, from what I understand, they could have sort of about 3 months up their sleeve where they weren't playing until the game doesn't survive. So they can really, if they had to go without a couple of rounds, they can still survive without a couple of rounds. But there's a lot of finger pointing as to why the NRL is in this situation and why we don't have more money in the bank in the first place.
All right, well, I just checked my account. I've got $1,837 in the war chest, so I'll be okay.
Oh,
if we go down.
Under the bed in the shoebox.
No,
in the backyard.
I've spent it all. Now, what about this, though? We talk about now, obviously, we're kind of part of history here, guys, because we're going to be one of the first call teams to call the first game with nobody in the ground watching it. But I think more of the big games, I guess, that are happening over the weekend, what's it going to be like for, let me start with you, Del, what's it going to be like for these players playing in front of nobody?
Oh, look, I tried to think about that last week when they were talking about it. I couldn't imagine because you won't pick this maroon, but I was one of those players who used to go out and think.
Play the crowd.
Yeah. How many people are here today?
No way.
Can you believe that, Emma? I was going, oh, yeah, the big man's ready to go today. But if there wasn't a big crowd, like, not that it wouldn't. We'd find hard to get myself up for the game.
Of course.
But, you know, it's one of those things where we're so used to it, you know. It's like walking to a coliseum ready to go into battle. You know, I know it's only sport, but that's what you've grown up with since you're like 8 or 9. So I used to love a big crowd, and if there wasn't, I just want to make sure that I didn't let my mates down.
So the fact that I played under 23s for Penrith in front of maybe 40, 50 people back in the day, I probably would be okay with it because once you're out there, I think we spoke to Will Weaver through the week on the rush hour about playing the grand final in basketball in front of no one. He said, you know what, once the game started, we just zoned in on the players.
That's it.
And we kind of forgot there was no crowd. I think they're doing something tonight as far as a fake crowd. Like
playing music.
And I just hope that's not a bit poxy.
Yeah.
I hope it's,
But you know what, but whatever the players need to get themselves up for the game, man, I'm happy to do what they need to do.
Yep. Suncorp Stadium tomorrow night, they got the fake crowd. And Moffy, the Triple M breakfast host in Coffs Harbour, is the ground announcer at Brisbane. And he's got to turn up and do the ground announcing. And there's no one there. I said, Moffy, you're used to have no one listening to you, so that's okay.
See, there you go again. Where's your positive attitude,
mate? You're supposed to be kind, especially in these times where everyone's doing it tough.
He's a Broncos supporter. So anyway, at Triple M's own Damien Cook had this to say on playing in front of an empty stadium.
A lot of us boys that have come through the reserve grade system will understand the out of the crowd. So I think it'll be a good reality check for some of the younger boys coming through that used to play in front of crowds, and they'll learn that they don't have the crowd support there, which we'll definitely miss at ANZ Stadium.
There you go. Damien Cook, who's going to line up for the Rabbitohs tomorrow, Em.
But it's a good point for the ones that are younger, it wouldn't have been that long ago that they played in under-20s and Canterbury Cup. And I did sideline for Fox League for a couple of years for both of those grades. And you quite often only had about 50 people, said, MG. And not that I was playing out there, but I think for me, I don't really know if it made that much difference doing sideline with the crowd or not, because you've got your headphones on and you're focused in on the game. But
one thing's for sure, we'll hear this sledging a lot more tonight, I think.
The language.
Yes. So we should go with it. We should come with a warning label tonight. Like an R-rated. We're going to do an R-rated show tonight.
Black label.
I reckon those championship minutes or just before sort of half time and at the end of the games, we need to find that extra. You feed off the crowd. That's where they're going to have to sort of,
All good points. Yeah. And we don't know what's going to happen tonight.
Yeah.
Like, it's going to be bizarre seeing him run out and trying to get up in that first set of six.
Are you nervous?
I fear the unknown. I like being in control of things, and I just fear tonight I've just got this feeling this could be the last time we're watching a game this year, and I really hope I'm wrong.
Oh, I'm sure you're wrong.
I hope I am.
Absolutely sure you're wrong.
Just before we go any further, is that just a coal sore?
It's just a coal sore. What do you think it might be?
We're about a metre and a bit away. I think we should be a little bit further apart.
I was going to say, what's your friend's name?
Yeah, but it's a coal sore. It's just a coal sore, mate.
Come on.
Everybody has coal sores, right?
I've never had a coal sore.
You've never had a coal sore. Turn it up. All right, well, look, I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll take a break. I'll sort these buff heads out, and we'll come back and talk about the doggies, the Bulldogs. Where do they find points? They only scored 2 points last week. It's Wendell, it's Emma, it's So Too MG and Maroon.
Thanks to McDonald's.
Triple M Rocks Footy.
The Triple M Network, we are doing Thursday night footy. We do it thanks to Ream, Australia's favourite steady, hot and strong installer Ream, and McDonald's. Triple M Rock the Footy. Never miss a single try with Mick Delivery. Available via the Uber Eats app, and you'll never miss a single try while you're woofing down the nuggies and the cheesies. A couple of French fries and maybe a Big Mac too, and chase it all down with a sundae. Is this a great country or what? Let's talk some rugby league. Wendell Saylor, Emma Lawrence, Mark Geyer, Anthony Maroon. Well, we saw that game last week. The Doggies, they gave it everything they want, all things considered. They went into the game with that news of two players that have been suspended. They tackled their backsides off there, MG, but they just didn't have the finesse. They just couldn't get across the try line.
Yeah, they lacked a lot of creativity. And the person we thought before the game, Brendan Wakeham, who we all identified as the guy who could have brought that creativity, kind of didn't. So I think he will tonight. I think Lachlan Norse has got to step up to the plate a little bit more and run the ball a lot more. He's a great kicker. He's got a lot of finesse about his game, but you can't just rely on Will Hopewadi all the time out wide. Raymond Smith's danger man, get him early ball. Dallin Watini Zelezniak at the back, you've got to get him involved more. So I think they will. I was very impressed with the Doggies' defence last week. I think, you know, in any other circumstances, the 48 hours they had before that game and playing at Bankwest Stadium, I think they could have toppled the Eels, but the Eels prevailed. I think tonight we'll see the Dogs bounce back. I think after that 48 hours they had before the game last week, that's now gone. They've come to terms with the two players who'll be out for a period of time, if not forever, off their books. So I think they've come to terms with that, and the Cowboys could be the guys on the receiving end of it tonight.
Yeah, look, I think the Bulldogs, they believe in what they're doing defensively, and that's all great. And with that, you've got to come away with some points. So they had a couple of repeat sets there. They kept going to the same sort of players, kicking to the same spot. And for me, I reckon, yeah, young Wakeham, he's got to take that opportunity. But also, I think for me, Lewis had to take more control. He just kept doing the same things, making silly mistakes, and they were frustrated. They went short there on the left side to Brendan Elliott, and he couldn't help himself. Not Brendan Elliott, but Adam Elliott.
So
you just got to be patient. They're not patient enough. They don't trust the process. Once they start to score a try or two, they'll understand what they can do because it'll be a ripple effect of confidence through that team. They got the strike players there, but they just got to back what they do in attack.
But still only, well, Brandon Wakeham has still only played four games of first grade, and Lockie Lewis is still young. And
yeah.
Last season they chopped and changed with their halves, and Foran was there, then he wasn't there, and
Jack Cogger was there.
So I definitely think it will come. You've got to give them patience, but that definitely last season was such a massive issue for them. Scored the least amount of points of any side, yet they had the best completion rate. So they had the footy a lot.
Mm.
They just didn't know what to do with the footy, and they just didn't have that strike power.
And their strengths, though, they've bought well with Joe Stimpson. So they've got Stimpson, they've got Jackson, they've got Elliott, they've got Napa, and they've got the experience of Tolman. So they've certainly got the players up front.
Oh, they're relying on so much Corey Harawira Naira to play this.
Yeah, they were, you're right.
I nominated him as the player to watch this year. I thought that he was going to be one of them players that bounce out of the pack after watching him in the All-Star game and just how much he'd grown in the off-season. So that's a big loss for them. So when you lose one of your marquee players 48 hours before the competition starts, that's going to derail everything.
Let's go to that then. Let's talk about Corey Harawira Naira and Jaden Ockenburg. Now, for mine, if they were both sacked from the club, I wouldn't have a problem with it. Reason being, it's apparently cost them a $2 million sponsor. If it's cost them a $2 million sponsor, we also work in an industry that's, you know, runs off the back of sponsorship money and how important it is. Now, if they had a $2 million sponsor sitting there ready to go and now they don't have anyone, spare a thought for the poor bugger that went out there and sold that idea to the sponsor. And now because of the stupidity of these two players, they don't have that sponsor.
No, so look,
that's not a bad point.
It's a very valid point. And you know what's unfortunate? It may very well come down to the fact that the Bulldogs need Corey Harawira Naira more than they need Jaden Ockenbaugh.
Exactly. No, but that's a shame.
It's a shame, but that's the nature of what it is. And it seems certainly like Jaden Ockenbaugh will be sacked. And look, I think originally when it first happened, I thought for one mistake, can you really, does a guy deserve to be sacked? But the thing is, players that have been sacked from NRL clubs, it doesn't rub them out of the game forever. I don't think he should be rubbed out of the game. He'll eventually, he'll cop that punishment. He'll get to play eventually with another club. So, yeah, look, I do think given what it's cost the Bulldogs, and particularly now with what's going on, I mean, I think it is reasonable.
But see, this is the thing. He will end up at another club. This is the whole thing. How many times do we see it? This bloke has cost, well, let's not say he's cost them, but he's been part of a thing that's cost them a $2 million sponsor. Now, he'll probably do his time and go and play for the bloody Melbourne Storm.
Well, ask the Raiders about that. How many players have they lost over the years through that type of thing and got rid of them and then been picked up by other clubs? I'm saying is right.
But you also have to stand for something as a club, you know what I mean? The Dogs are trying to rebuild their brand and they say that they're the family club. And if you're trying to get a sponsor, and also in terms of the character of men, I mean, does Dean Pay think that, don't you pick guys to build a premiership winning team around the character more so than skill? So you want to have guys there that you think have the character that you want at that club as well. So I think Jaden Ockhambor at the very least will be gone.
Okay. Thursday night footy on the Triple M network. We'll have a more detailed look at the Cowboys. We haven't really touched on them yet. So we'll have a little bit of a look at the Cowboys. Their first up performance last week was a loss at their brand new stadium up there at North Queensland. But we'll talk more about that in detail as we continue Thursday night footy and Triple M rocks the footy.
Thanks to McDonald's. Rocks footy.
With Wendell, with MG, with Emma Lawrence and Maroon, the North Queensland Cowboys. Well, they got off last week till they lost at their new home stadium. And a couple of times there, I thought the Broncos pulled their pants down a little bit, but they field a side this year with obviously Valentine Holmes back there, Drinkwater and Morgan in the halves. It's funny. It's a funny one, this one, the Cowboys, because they started last season. A couple of clubs got derailed last year before we even got to kickoff. They had that whole issue with Ben Barber. And then sometimes there they had every available back on the injuries list. So, you know, I kind of think they're better than that, but I'm not confident they'll get up tonight.
Well, it's like anything. I think like Cohen Hess, I think he played in the centres last year. They struggled a little bit there. He's obviously fitter. You know, for me, look, I don't think Ben Hampton's a winger, but look, they've got some good buys there. They bought Masters and obviously Valentine Holmes. And I said this, and I remember on our Dead Set Legends show, Gus laughed at me, but I said for the first month of the comp, I would play Valentine Holmes just on the wing, just to get his timing and rhythm back. Mm-hmm. But you play him straight at fullback. He's under the pressure. Man, he's a quality player. And last week he made a couple of mistakes. He scored a try. But that's all got to come together because, you know, I mean, it's all timing. And to be honest, that stadium, North Queensland, that's all they were talking about for the last 6 to 12 months. So my in-laws are season ticket holders. So I reckon they sort of, you don't mean to, but you sort of half play the game before you get there. They rock up and you think it's going to happen. And then, you know, all that nervous energy that you sort of used up. So, and they didn't play well at different stages there. I reckon the scoreline flattered
absolutely.
The Cowboys. Mm. But I just think for the Broncos, they went up there with a mentality with a lot of young kids, Flegler and that, and they did the job.
Yeah, they didn't need any more reason to get up, did they, other than the fact that it's a brand new stadium. That's all anyone was talking about, as you mentioned. And even our young Patrick Carrigan was interviewed after the game and he was asked if the fact that he was a co-captain at such a young age, whether that was on his mind. And he said, no, the only thing on my mind was the fact that it was a brand new stadium and it was the Cowboys, because that's all anyone had asked them about as well. So if that didn't get the Cowboys up, then that's, I mean, it's only round one, but that's an issue that they can't get up for something like that.
The Cowboys forwards looked old compared to the Broncos, and they are. Mm. When you saw Fifita and Payne Haas and Pangai Jr. up against McLean, Gavin Cooper, even Jake Granville. Robson, when he came on, added a bit of spark.
He was good, wasn't he? Yeah, he was a good kid, mate.
Yeah, he looks good.
He came through with Tristan for a couple of years.
Okay, so look, the Cowboys, look, they started well, and I get what Dale says about Val Holmes. I agree, probably. I think that he's being put up a bit like GI, I suppose. So much pressure on them at fullback. Mm. But fullback's a hard spot to play.
Mm.
You've got to be the fittest in the team to play fullback.
Yeah.
How long until Val Holmes feels comfortable there, until he is at his best? How long do you give it?
A month, maybe?
Yeah, I reckon 6 to 8 weeks. Mate, he won't be playing there because they're going to be called off by then. I'll be positive, okay? But But 6 to 8 weeks, I reckon, just to get your rhythm and everything. But even look at Latrell Mitchell. I know it's a different chat, but Latrell Mitchell, you know, you got 55 minutes and, like, you know, he couldn't get out 80 minutes. And, you know, they're saying, same with Vel. And Vel, one thing I'll give Vel credit for is he hurt his ankle there at some stage in the second half and he battled on. He didn't want to come off. That's a classy player.
I don't want to put you on the spot here.
Yeah, but you are.
Do you know much about how Isaan Masters ended up not at the Tigers and at the Cowboys? Was there anything behind that or?
Well, look, it's always looking for another opportunity, more money. There wasn't, from what I understand, a massive personality clash or anything like that. But I know that at Robbie Farah's testimonial the other night, he made a nice joke that about the goal kick or the low goal kicking percentage of Isaan and indicated, we won't miss that, will we?
But he did miss a couple of vital goals, didn't he?
Yep.
In the course of the year.
I remember you said that. Did you one at Penrith one time? Yeah. Did you say that?
One that just cost him a game.
Like 5 minutes out.
You said that,
And when you say there wasn't a massive personality clash.
In terms of, so Ryan Madison, a huge personality clash with Madge. Yep. That's what happened. Mm-hmm. Everyone knows that's what happened. Okay, so it wasn't a Ryan Madison style situation. But Isaan gets another opportunity up there and the Tigers needed to, with their cap, offload a couple of players anyway. So it worked out best for both parties.
Okay.
So I don't think it was a bitter exit.
All right. If the Cowboys are to win tonight, where do they do it? Who's the key man?
Michael Morgan's got to step up.
He looked out of sorts again last week, didn't he? Yeah.
Yeah, he's one of them players you could probably put in that inverted commas as being looking old. You know, just when his team needed him to be the captain of the team and lead by example, he didn't. And we know he can because he did it for that whole year that JT was out and they got to the grand final. So Drinkwater has got a lot of promise, but maybe he's a fullback. Maybe Drinkwater's free running, fancy free running at fullback might be some more suited to the Cowboys. And maybe, as Del said, maybe Val on the wing or Felt in the centres. I don't know. They've got to mix something up. But we'll see how they'll go. See how Val goes tonight because Val Holmes is he'll make us all, mugs of us all.
I reckon for me, I think Josh Maguire, I think just because he
was out last week,
but he's just got that gauge where you just want to sort of play with him. Like, you like playing with him, but you hate playing against him. And he's just got that gauge about him where he sets the standard for you. Tamalolo can do his stuff. But, you always sort of need you need that sort of bloke who will just get down and dirty and that. That's what Josh Maguire likes to do.
And where is Cohen Hess at the moment? Now, last week we saw David Fifita went straight over the top of him, but that's going to happen to a lot of players.
He's beaten twice.
But Hess got up and had another crack at it, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. Look, that's going to happen. You're right. But I reckon Hess, since he's come in, he's looked fit. It looks like he's stripped down. So last week, we'll let that go last week. But I think tonight for the Cowboys, it's a chance for them to redeem themselves on their performance last week. I think Hess is going to be all right this season because I think Kevy's even put a rocket up him too, regarding Origin.
Yeah, absolutely. And the fact that he's now playing not in the centres where obviously he's not comfortable, he had to do it because, as you mentioned, Maroon, they had every outside back on their list basically injured. Mm. But it's a massive difference, and he got caught out defensively a bit in the centres. So I think being back in the back row, he'll be a lot more comfortable. And it was only one round of the season, so I think the Cowboys will be much stronger tonight.
Look, if they don't click in the backs, I know you don't panic, but I reckon Drinkwater's that's good of a player. You can push him to the centres. Jussie O'Neill, for me at the moment, I've got a bit of a question mark. I know he got that head knock early last week and that went off. He just hasn't played well for the last probably couple of years. But young Clifford, I'd bring him into the halves if they're going to struggle the next couple of weeks, and then I'd put Drinkwater into the centres. He's a footballer. You'd be playing him anywhere.
Okay, who wins tonight, Del? Who do you like, and by how many?
Well, I'm going to go with the Cowboys. I reckon they can bounce back 6 points.
And?
They were embarrassed last week. Yeah. I just don't trust the Dogs' attack yet.
I want to say the Dogs, but I don't trust them either. Don't trust them. Okay. I'm going to say the Cowboys by 10.
Yeah, you're going to stick with me. Well done, Emma.
Yeah. I think tonight's the night the Dogs find their attacking prowess, and I think the Dogs will win something like 20 to 12.
Okay. 20 to 12. So you're saying 8 points. By 8 points.
8 points.
All right. Well, it's not too far away. 20 minutes away from kickoff. Round two starting off. History is being made. We're going to be calling a game with nobody in the crowd. and we're looking forward to it. Wherever you are, maybe you're listening to us because you've got to be working tonight or you're out buying toilet paper. Whatever you might be doing, we'll be right here at Triple M calling the game for you. It's the Cowboys at ANZ Stadium against the Doggies as Triple M rocks the footy.
Thanks to McDonald's. Triple M rocks footy.
Okay, never miss a single try. Get all your Macca's favourites from Big Mac Burgers to the iconic fries, MG.
Oh, yeah, they're the best. Delivered to your home with McDelivery. Available via the Uber Eats app, which I got last night, by the way.
You're a smart man.
Quarter pounder with cheese.
And giddy up.
You know what I get? I get the chicken sauce on top of it.
On the quarter pounder?
On the quarter pounder.
A customised job.
Just try it.
I'm going to give it a crack tonight on the way home from Macca's Kingsford, the friendly staff there.
Oh, yeah.
Check the Macca's website to see if they deliver to your location.
Thanks to McDonald's. Triple M rocks footy.
Yeah, welcome back. Not far off today till the kickoff of the Cowboys, and they take on, of course, the Bulldogs at ANZ Stadium in Sydney. Both first-round losers. Just quickly, boys, got a tweet here from Buzz Rothfield. NRL rules this weekend. Interchange benches 20 metres apart. Each chair 1.5 metres apart. Footballs washed every 10 minutes.
Beautiful.
But then, of course, they've got to go out there and smash into each other anyway.
Yeah. Well, against Manly, we watched the game with Melbourne Storm. They kicked the ball in the crowd, and that was it. The ball would be gone.
Yeah.
Right.
And the crowd would have it. So now, at least there's no crowd. They can retrieve the balls, bring them back.
That's right.
Well, that used to happen in Redfern Oval back in the 70s. If anyone kicked it up on the hill, I'd be straight over the park, upgrade Buckingham Street with a brand new footy.
Oh, I would love to see you. Mm. If someone said no, what would you have done?
I just streaked away. You couldn't catch me. So anyway, we've got Tony Soprano here.
Yes.
Real name, Tony Soprano from the Triple M NRL team, who's been watching the AFL. Also, Tony playing in front of an empty crowd.
It's quite bizarre. It's going to be interesting to see how the NRL obviously deal with it tonight. They're supposedly going to be playing background noise, which you guys have spoken about, but the AFL, it's just dead silent. You can hear everything. You can hear every call, absolutely everything. So really looking forward to see what happens with the NRL tonight.
Many C-bombs?
A few F-bombs already.
Oh. Right.
So you've seen the NRL too. You've watched you've seen them on the sideline. That's true what Buzz said about the 1.5 metres from each other.
Yeah, they are. It's 1.5 metres. The benches are a certain distance apart, which is interesting because they're going to sweat on each other and tackle each other. And what does that
just
make?
Men sweating on each other. That's great.
Sweaty.
Good on you, Soprano. There he is.
Tony, thank you, Tony.
Even during the week at training, though, so at Parramatta training, they're doing a lot of the press conferences via video link, but then we get sent vision and images to use, and Fergo's kissing and hugging the boys anyway. So it just
it's hard, yeah. Actually, can I ask, how have the press conferences, have they been all right?
So the clubs are doing it differently. Some, you go still to the club and you have to stand 2 metres away and you sort of feel like you're shouting at the players, but at least you still get to go out there and you feel like you're normality. Asking the question to them. And some have been done via video link. I haven't done one of the video link ones yet, but I've been sitting next to a colleague who's been logged on to his computer doing it. And it's just a bit awkward because you don't know when to jump in, and you go to jump in the same time as another journo, and you can't look at each other and say, oh, you go. It's just everyone's talking at the same time. It's a bit strange.
What about Reedy? Has Reedy been there?
No, Reedy just comes to whatever he wants to go to. Okay. He was there today with the Todd Greenberg, Peter Volandi's press conference, coughing, mind you, for a good minute before it began.
Really?
Lock him down.
Everyone sort of moved a bit further away.
Put him down.
Yeah.
I had to sit next to Reedy. He said, don't worry, I've had it for 8 weeks. I got it in Japan.
That's
what he said.
That gives us confidence.
Oh, that's beautiful. Which, I want to ask the question.
What about that, but just like, you're scared to cough.
Yeah.
I saw the tissue before, like, are you all right?
You threw the wrong way. And you get something cool. I had a pizza just a minute ago, and I stuffed it down my throat pretty quickly.
Yeah, I know.
And I coughed, and a couple of people out there looked at me, and are you okay? I said, yeah, it's just food. But you can't even cough anymore without people thinking you got...
When I was at Coles today, like, the girl, she coughed in her arm. And I was like...
That's the right way.
It's the right way, but, like, you don't cough.
What do you mean? Don't cough at all?
I
wanted to cough when I was getting my makeup done at work the other day, and I was so paranoid about doing it. Yeah. I held it in, and then tears were streaming down my face because I had a tickle in my throat. They said, is everything okay? What's going on? And I said, oh, it's just just something in my eye. I just couldn't admit that I wanted to cough because it's a bad look these days.
It is, isn't it? You'd rather rip one off, wouldn't you, than cough.
What's that mean?
You know, drop your... You know what I mean.
Where are you going?
Pop off. Yeah, you'd rather pop off. But they always go, that's disgusting.
That's nothing.
But, guys, what about now that you... Hang on, we might have some audio here. Dean Pay on Channel 9? We'll just get that through to our producer and we'll get that on. In the meantime, if you had to get put in isolation with a member of the Triple M call team, who would you least likely to be put in isolation with? I'll start with you, Wendell.
Gordon Tallis.
I was going to say Gordon.
He just took my ears off and then he just knows everything.
God, if he could get a word in with you, though.
Here we go.
Least.
I love him. Mm-hmm. But I'd say Kenty because it'd be very negative, wouldn't it? It'd just be a lot of negative energy.
Fair enough.
I love Kenty.
And you don't love him. You like him, but you don't love him.
Okay, I like him, but sorry,
MG? Kenty. MG?
Probably Gerds.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Why?
He's just too good, too perfect. You know, he'd look at him, you lament, oh, dear bastard. Here I am stuck in here looking at you. Yeah. Really? Mm. I'd rather have someone else than him.
Do you think you might turn? Do you think you might? Not that there's anything wrong with
him. No, it's 2020, mate.
Would you turn?
What about you?
Would you turn for Gerds?
No, never. I've got... Del, in the off-season, we had to go to Cowra in my car, and he never shut up from Sydney, from my joint in Little Bay to Cowra. He never shut up.
What percentage of chat was about himself?
Oh, say 68%. And then tell me if I'm lying, the only time he shut up is when he told me to shut up so he could watch Bold and the Beautiful on his tablet.
That's true. I love Bold and the Beautiful. It was an important part. I said, Maroon, do you mind not talking for half an hour while it's Bold and the Beautiful from 4:30 to 5?
He didn't say that kind.
Yeah, I just said zip it, mate.
All right, here's Dean Pay, courtesy of Channel 9. He is the coach of the Bulldogs.
Well, Dean, without the fans, it feels like a very neutral ground out there. Do you feel like you've lost the home ground advantage at all?
Oh, look, it's going to be different, that's for sure. It's always great to play in front of our own fans and, you know, they generate all the intensity in what we do. But look, what it is, and we're just going to make sure that we get out there and generate our own intensity in what we're doing.
You had quite a disruptive preparation last week with two players stood down just 2 days out from the start of the season. Yep. Do you feel you're much better prepared this week?
Yeah, I mean, it was a distraction. But look, the players have got on with it. We've all got on with what we need to do with the club and move forward. So, we're prepared really well tonight and hopefully we'll put a good performance in.
Thanks for your time. Good luck.
Good fella. Dean Pay, thanks for celebrations and courtesy of Channel 9. He's old school, Dean Pay, and he's getting a job done there. He wasn't helped at all by what happened a couple of weeks ago with those two players in Port Macquarie. No. But you know what? He's building something.
Showed last week, his first game, with all that distraction from the Port Macquarie debacle, that his team still put up a good showing. You know, they come out and they fought for their right to be on the field, and they looked every part of it. They're up to that game to their eyeballs until a ricochet came off and Reed Marnie scored a try, basically a consolation try for the Eels, because it was a tough game. We were there commentating it, and the Dogs were in that game all the way, weren't they?
Yeah, they were. But it's, you know, we talked about it. It's about 1%ers. Who was the back rower that took the bomb? Was it Raymond Fellow?
Vitalimatta.
So, you know, mate, if he catches that, in the next set of six, the kick comes in. Obviously, Lachlan Lewis, loses that ball. They score. Mate, it's a game of inches. They're doing everything right, but they're the moments that you've got to win if you want your 2 points.
Mm-hmm. That's a good point.
Yeah.
Well, okay, and he touched on not playing in front of anyone, you know. So, obviously, they get a good crowd at the ANZ Stadium.
They would have got 20 grand there tonight, 15, 20 grand, wouldn't they?
Just under 20, because Cowboys don't really pull that many players or crowd figures.
It's just bizarre. It's bizarre.
But I'm interested to see who you're going to be hearing, obviously, with no crowds. Yeah. So who's sledging, who's the one swearing? Because on the sideline, you pick that up a lot. And so you hear a lot of swear words thrown about.
Josh McGuire is where's Ladbrokes? He's sure price favourite. He'll be hearing. He'll commentate the whole game.
But you know what's funny too? They do it to their own teammates. So last week, Mitchell Moses was obviously naturally as the halfback, he's barking orders at his teammates, but he's throwing lots of f bombs and other things around. Of course, yeah. So it's just interesting. It'll whether yeah. they.
And you know this, MG, like, I know Brandy was like, but I know with Alf and our team, even though he was small in stature, like, if there's a cross king where you jam in and he goes, what the F are you doing, like, jamming in there and that? So the little blokes, they give it to you, mate, they don't miss you. Kevy was the same, but wasn't quite as harsh.
Just before we go to the break here, guys, at Triple M _NRL, a tweet's come in from Otis, who's listening in Raymond Terrace.
Hey, Otis.
Must be via Triple M Newcastle.
Hey, Otis. That's my dog's name, Otis.
Is that right? Otis, he's named his dog out. What sort of dog is he?
It's a Moodle.
There you go. Good dog too, the old Moodle.
Yeah.
Anyway, Otis says, I can't believe Deli starts off by talking about how positive he's going to be, how he's going to only talk positive. And then 10 minutes ago, he said, by round five, round six, we won't be playing any NRL. That's a good point, Otis. Thank you, Otis.
Sorry, Otis.
What have you got to say to yourself, Delicious?
I'm bipolar.
Okay. We'll take a break. We'll come back and we shouldn't be far off from kickoff as Triple M rocks.
The footy! Thanks to McDonald's. Triple M rocks footy.